This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Man, I want you to look with me at Numbers, chapter number 21. Amen. Numbers, chapter number 21. Amen. Amen. It's good for us to be here. Amen. To be assembled one to another. Amen. When you have Numbers, chapter number 21, we're going to parade the, and peruse the periphery of verse 1 through 9. When you have it, say, I have the word, ready to receive it. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the sea, the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, he that beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. Amen. We thank God for his word, his way, and his will. Amen. Amen. The Bible says here in Numbers that if whoever looked upon it, they were able to live. And I want to use for a thought today a title, a topic of this message, because so many things are happening today that we are not focused. I want to say to you, stay focused. Stay focused. Easy topic, something that you can remember, something you can take away from here on today. Amen. Now, the story here is in the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt through the Exodus, that's the book before this. They had been there 400 years, and God raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses. His name meant drawn out, because he was either drawn out of the river or he was able to draw the people out of Egypt. Amen? He was minding his own business, and God called him to be a deliverer of the people because he wanted to bring them out of Egypt. Now, the people could not worship God like they should have, so because the taskmasters in Egypt had made their job really hard. They had no time for anything. All they had time to do was work, work, work. Kind of sound like us today. Everybody was working. They would not even give them straw to make their brick with. They had to go get straw and make brick and keep going to build what the Pharaoh and the government of Egypt wanted them to build. Amen. And so all of a sudden God said, Moses, I want you to go and tell them to let my people go. They go. They come out. They come through the Red Sea. They come into the wilderness. And then God begins to feed them with manna from heaven and water from a rock. And here it is now, while they're in the wilderness, because they doubted God. They doubted God's ability. They doubted God's promise. They did not adhere to God's word. And so they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years until all of them died out. But before this happened, here we find them in the wilderness, and they're there, and the Canaanite king decided, because there were, you know, there was a million people walking in the wilderness. And so the Canaanite king, he kind of attacked them from a weak side, kind of those that were kind of in the back. He attacked them and he took them captive. And all of a sudden, Israel began to vow a vow. Now here it was, these people who had before been disobedient, these people who had no faith and did not believe, they had something happen in their life to make them want to dedicate themselves to God. Okay, let that set in for a minute. Sometimes we're the same way. We doubt God. We don't believe. And then something happens in our life, and we go back and we dedicate ourselves to God, and we want to pray. And they vowed a vow, verse 2 says, and he said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people to my hand, then I will utterly destroy their city. So God told them to destroy their cities to begin with, but they were like, oh God, the grasshopper. We like grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants over there. They made every excuse not to go. But now they're mad. So they want to do something. Now they want to do what God said do. You know how it is. At first you don't want to do it, and then somebody tell a lie on you, then all of a sudden you want to do right. Amen. Oh, well, let me. So here it is now. They wanted to do it. And so they prayed. They say, God, hearken unto our voice and deliver up the Canaanites who utterly destroyed them. And guess what? Their cities, not only them, but their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. He called the name of that place Hormah, which means a place of devotion. Look at that. They reminded themselves that we vowed a vow and we kept it, and God kept his end of the bargain. And look, we are devoted to God now. Although we have been to a place where we had denied God's promises and we doubted God, but now we're in a place of devotion. You know how it is. We got ourselves back together, and now I'm focused on what God wants, because that whatever it was that happened made me get on fire for the Lord. You're on fire today, huh? Look at what happens. Let's go on. He says, now, in verse 4, it says, and they journeyed to Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Now, they went back the way that they already came from. You know how we do. We were devoted one time to God, and all of a sudden we lost our devotion and our faith, and things just ain't going right, and here we are in the wilderness, and we just got to wait one day at a time. We're barely making it. We got to wait till our check come, because we're living week to week. You know how it is. We got to wait for this, and we got more month than we do money. Amen? We got all this stuff going on, but this stuff makes us devote ourselves again to God. And so what we do, we go back the way that we came, so we'll be reminded of the things we used to do when we really walk with God. You know how when we had those miracles happen in our life, those things happen that can't nobody else have done those things but God? They went back by the Red Sea and they were able to see. Remember when God delivered us, when Pharaoh was behind us and God washed them up, and they begin to walk that way. But when they had to go the long way around, because somebody wants success immediately. But when they had to go the long way around, look at what happened. He says that when they went the long way around through by Edom, verse 4, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Many times we get discouraged because of the path that God chose for us. Many times we get discouraged because of the way that we have to go. And the way things go in our life is not happening fast enough for us. We want this microwave success. We got this popcorn faith that it pop up today, but you let a little water run on it, it ain't worth eating. Come on and say amen. We have to get to a place where it's not like that anymore. But here it is. They were discouraged because of the way. It is God's business on which way he decides to take us. It is God's business the way that he has planned for our path and our life to play out. Quit looking at other people pass you by because they may be in a short race. You may be in a marathon, so you need to pace yourself. Oh, hallelujah. We got to stop looking at everybody else go by and just say, I'm patient. Because of the way they begin to get discouraged because of what they saw, because of how they felt, because they were just tired of doing the same thing, walking every day, just making a few paces every day, sitting down, eating some manna, drinking a little water, get up, walk again. They got tired of the same old stuff. We get tired of the same old stuff. That's why sometimes we don't go to Bible study. That's why we don't go to church like we should. That's why we don't dedicate and devote our time of prayer and reading of the scriptures like we should. That's why we don't even talk to our children on a daily basis about how good God is like we should. I ain't got to say amen. You can't say amen, say oh man. Or say I'm the man. Or ouch man. Whatever, say something. Amen. So they journeyed and they got discouraged because of the way. Because of the way God took them. Because of the leading of God. You cannot get to a point to where you get so discouraged. And you got to know that God has a path. He leadeth us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The Bible tells us to lean not into our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all our ways. And he will direct our what? Path. But we're in a hurry. We want things to happen when we want them to happen. God, I want you to do it right here, right now. Boom. That's what we expect. But God said, you don't, I'm God. You're the person. And I do it when I want to, how I want to, and where I want to do it. God is sovereign. Tell somebody God is sovereign. And so they journeyed and they got discouraged along the way. Now look at this. Now you got to remember, they had made a vow to God. They got devoted. They were ready. They were on fire. And because nothing else happened right away, they got discouraged. That sounds just like us. God can bless us last week, and then this week we don't, you know what? I just don't feel it no more. You know, we let anything stop us. Last year, this time, you got that new ride, and you were shouting, couldn't beat you to church. But the gas prices went up, and you complained. Come on now. And now I ain't got no money. You couldn't beat you giving. You couldn't beat you helping people. Now, I ain't helping nobody. I got to take care of my stuff. Okay. So the Bible says that they were discouraged. But look at this. Verse 4 and 5 said they journeyed. They got discouraged. Verse 5 said, and the people spake against Moses, God, and against Moses. And wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? So here it is. Now we see their condition, and now they're complaining. They're complaining because of the condition that they're living in, and they're complaining because they said, "Now why did you bring us out of Egypt?" How fast do they forget that you didn't have time to even visit your family, men, because Egypt had you working so. You were slaves in Egypt, and you prefer to be a slave than somebody free. They forgot. They would much rather go back to slavery than to be free and not know that God has something on. Just look, it took them 3 years to get to the Jordan River when God told them, look, if you get to the Jordan, just cross it and possess the land. And they doubted God and they didn't. And they forgot. And you know how we do. We forget it's really our fault, the reason why we're in the condition we're in. But we start finding other people and other things to blame. They blame the giants in the land. Then they blame God. Then they blame Moses. I wish I had somebody. We sometimes forget it's really our fault and our lack of faith that we don't achieve what God has for us to achieve in the time he wants us to. Amen here. So here it is. They found themselves in verse 5. He says, they told him, say, why you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness, in this desert where nothing grows and ain't nothing going on. Ain't no excitement. And our money don't mean nothing out here. We don't have, and they, look, this is the problem that I had with what they did is that they didn't even realize realized that God was keeping them because none of their clothes got old. Preach. None of their shoes got worn out. After 40 years of walking, you got the same pair of shoes on and nothing happens to the shoes. What a miracle. Lord have mercy here. You are a walking miracle and don't realize it. I wish I had some people in here that realize. Look, you are, I'm talking to you, you are a walking miracle and don't even realize how good God has been to you. And we begin to complain. The next time you start to complain, stop, pull out your mirror and look and say, I am a miracle. And that ought to stop your complaints. Because if the devil could have his way, I know you say you've been fighting the devil, but the devil don't just come to fight. He don't come. He come to steal. He come to kill and to destroy. I wish I had somebody here. And so you ought to be thankful that God is giving you victory every day. All right. So he said that they were in the wilderness. And he said, why? They said the complaint was, why did you bring us out of the wilderness to die? And then look at what he said in part B of verse 5. He says, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and I so loathed at this light bread. He said that there is no bread and there is no water. That's what they were saying, but they didn't realize it was, you're saying there's no bread and you're saying there's no water, but we're still living. I may not have what they have, but I'm still alive. Lord have mercy here. I may not have the kind of bread they have. I may not have the sweet bread. I may not have the yeast rolls or whatever you like to eat, but I got bread that's keeping me alive. And I may not have the water they have, but I got water and I'm not worried about thirst, but I got big eyes. I want somebody else's water. Lord have mercy here. They begin to complain, and I want you to see here that the complaint here that they were complaining against was not just ordinary bread. It was not just ordinary water. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on and say amen here. Because the bread was the manna from heaven. And so what were they saying? They were saying, God, the bread of heaven is not what we want. They were saying, don't feed me with the bread of heaven. I want somebody else's bread. I want some bread, the bread that's man-made. I don't want the bread that comes down from heaven that gives me life. I wish I had somebody in the house. You see, that's what we are today, because so many of our young people, so many are saying, oh, I'm woke. Oh, I got this religion. I got that religion. They're trying to find religion, and they never even gave the Bible a try. They never even gave Jesus a shot at it because they never really knew him. They just decided, I want to do something else. I wish I had somebody here. And they're saying that this bread ain't good enough. This bread, what they were saying was, this bread is contemptible bread. This bread is bread that we don't need to eat because I'm just tired of it because it's just stale. It's no good and it's worthless. That's what they were saying. How can you say that the bread of heaven, how can you say that the word of the Lord is worthless and you seek after something else because you haven't even tried it? It's the word of the Lord that's been keeping you all this time. It's the word of the Lord that kept your forefathers. It's the word of the Lord that's keeping you right now. Even in our rebellious state, it's still the word of the Lord. But they rejected the word, and you have to be careful when we reject the word. And I know I said woke, you know, because the young people, they may look at me funny, woke, but more than being woke, you need to just be aware. You need to be aware that God is real. You need to be aware of what's out there. You need to be aware of the spiritual beings that there. You need to be aware of the doctrines of devil that's floating all over the place. I wish I had somebody here. That's just something for you. Amen. So we need to understand that we cannot reject the bread that God has given us. They rejected the bread. They talked bad about the bread. They complained about the bread. You know how we complain about the sermon? Amen. You know, that ain't what I don't agree with him. I don't want to hear that. That ain't what I'm used to. I'm used to some prosperity. I'm used to some of this. I'm used to some of that. I'm used to, you know, I'm used to the other kind of preaching. Don't complain. Because God knows what you need. Not only did they complain about the bread, which represents Christ, but Jesus said, not only am I the bread of life, he said, if you drink of this water, you'll never what? He was the water that came from the rock. Remember, they had no water in the desert, but God told Moses, go up to the rock and smite the rock, and out of the rock came water, gushing from the rock, and they drank from that rock. All of them drank of that spiritual rock according to the New Testament. And what that means is that they were filled and refreshed by the word of God, by the washing, by the water of the word of God. Come on and say amen. Now, and so they were saying that the refreshment that I get from God is no good. I need something else. When we begin to complain, when we begin to have complaints, there is some consequences to our complaints. We got to be careful, because the Bible says that we are snared by the words of our mouth. And by the increase of our lips, the more we talk negative, the more we complain, our belly is satisfied. You know what that means? That means that our mind will be satisfied by saying, you know, I knew I wasn't going to never make it. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that this bad thing was going to. We're satisfied now because we knew it, because we talked about it. Come on. You got to get your tongue right. The tongue is a powerful thing. Amen. And so what is one of the first things that God do to us whenever we get converted? He begins to work on our language. That's why you say, I'm going to quit lying and cussing. The first thing we do, that's the first thing we do. Remember Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible said that when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me. And he said, I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. We have to make sure our lips are clean. What goes in a man don't defile him, but what comes out of a man. Amen. All right, let me go on here, because y'all getting sleepy on me. So we got to understand that our complaining brings about a chastisement. Oh, I don't want to be chastised. But he chastened those that he loved. Amen? That's what the scripture says. And even when we talk about communion in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talks about it starting at verse 28. He talks about examining ourselves. And then he says that when we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we don't, he said, then we can be chastised of God so that we don't be condemned with the world. That's how much God loves us. He does not want us to be what? Condemned with the world. Now, look at what it says here. He says verse number six, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Much. That means a whole lot of people start dying. And why they start, and you gotta be careful when you start agreeing in other people's complaints. You know, it started with a few folks that was complaining. And then everybody start picking up on the complaints. Come on and say amen. You got to stop that. You got to stop and say, you know, we ought to just be glad that God has blessed us. Amen. The other day I went to the doctor for a checkup, and this two men was in there, and another pastor. We were all talking, and everything was good. Well, they got called, and they went back, and I'm sitting there by myself, and then this other guy come in, and the first thing he said, this don't make no sense. They scared all us together like this. And he just started complaining about everything. The medical field got us hostage, and he's just going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I said, well, what time your appointment? It's at 8:45, but it was 8:30. And I said, I just sat there and listened. And then I said, well, we just ought to be thankful that God gave doctors the wisdom and knowledge so that he can warn us of things that we need to pray for. You know you right? He stopped his complaining, but he wanted me to join in. I said, I'm not going to join in. I'm just going to be thankful that all I'm here to do is a little blood work. I could be here for something else. Come on and say amen now. And so people want you to join in their complaining. If we fail to realize it at the moment, we will fall right in and complain. We complain about the sunshine, and we complain about the rain coming. We complain about the people. We complain about who didn't do this and who didn't do that. Stop complaining about everybody. It's a good message for me. But when they started complaining, it took like wildfire, and the whole camp started complaining. And notice what they did. They started talking about God first. This thing ain't working for me. They start talking about God first. Then they say anything equated to God, the man of God. Start talking about him. And you know what else? If you keep talking, what happens? Then you start talking about the church folk. Start talking about the church. Ah, the church ain't this. The church ain't nobody did it. Ain't nobody. You start complaining about that. And the devil wants to trick you into complaining because he knows that chastisement comes right after complaining. Y'all with me? Say something. Chastisement comes after your complaining. Tell somebody, stop complaining before you get a whooping. Look at the consequences here. The consequences, I know you don't want to hear this message. You thought something else. You're going to be lifted up. But I'm trying to get you here, trying to get you to the place of being lifted up. We can't be lifted up with all that mess holding us down. Verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. Look at how bad this was. These fiery serpents, what the word fiery means, seraph, which means the fire, means that they were so poisonous that when they bit you, it burned. It burned. When they bit you, it burned. And so he says that the fiery serpents, they were among the people. And we if we see a snake now, we out. I heard somebody say, if you see a snake in my house, they can have the house. We gone. But the snakes came among the people. They didn't know where the snakes were. The snakes came among them and said, oh, it was so many of them, they were just biting folks. So many snakes. And can you imagine now you was complaining about a wilderness where you didn't see no snakes? Lord have mercy. And because you complain, here come nothing but snakes. See, when you talk negative, negativity comes to you. Don't complain about the place God has you now, because you don't know what you're going to bring in that place. God has a protection around you already. He's kept you and he's going to keep you. But when you start complaining, you put a breach in the protection. All right. Thank you, Antonio. So he says that verse 6 said that a lot of them died. Not a few, thousands of them. So much, verse 7 says, and therefore the people came to Moses. Look at this. The consequences was that they begin to die because of their doubt. They begin to die because of their mouth. They begin to die because of their complaint. I wish I had somebody in here. I wish you see this now, that because what we got to make sure that we understand that life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. We got to make sure we remember that. It's in the power of the tongue. And we got power because we're created in God's image. And we are the body of Christ, and we have a power and authority. We exercise it in the realm that we live in. And that's why we should say, give us this day our daily bread and not get tired of it. Oh. Tired of going to prayer because ain't nobody going to show up. Tired of going to Bible study because I can be home watching my TV shows. You better DVR that mess and get to where you can get a word. Amen here. We got to stop making excuses for our selfishness. In order to be a disciple, you have to be selfless. You got to put God first or you're not a disciple. Point blank. All right, let me go on. Then verse 7 says, and then they came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Look at this. After their chastisement, see, sometimes we ain't going to act right until God whoop us. They begin to confess their sin. Look at this. This is the way to the cross. I'm telling you. This is the way to salvation. This